I didn't see you over there. Awesome, Al. Thank you.
Page 754. Jonah's anger at the Lord's compassion. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing for Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over to Jonah to give shade over his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plan. Then at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It'll be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said. "I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?"
Thanks, Al. If you were in this church for the past number of weeks, then you were walking with us through the book of Jonah. And today's our last installment of that, because the book ends with today's text. Last week, we learned that Jonah went through the city of Nineveh preaching against it, or so he thought. He says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. But we learned last week that the word for overturned in the original text could mean turn around as well. And so Jonah figured, probably with a big grin on his face, because he didn't really like the Ninevites at all. In fact, he hated them because of the atrocities that they've done against all the other nations around them, that he was probably pretty proud and happy walking through the city going, 40 more days and Nineveh's going to be overturned. In other words, it's going to be thrown over. It's going to be upended. It's going to die. Jonah didn't see that happening, though. He turned and looked around him, and what he saw was people turning around. So he wasn't lying when he said 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be turned around, because the word had a different meaning, a double meaning. Jonah didn't like what he was seeing. He didn't like it at all. Because now this people that were so horrible, that were treating everybody badly, that were all wrong, all of a sudden, these people, they're sitting down in the dirt, covering themselves with sackcloth and making themselves very low to the ground. In other words, they're repenting. They're turning around. They are saying sorry to God. And they are asking him to please, please not punish them. And of course, God doesn't punish them. And Jonah doesn't like it. In fact, he hates it. And he gets into a little bit of a temper tantrum. And you may have seen that in the beginning of the chapter 4 today. He's praying to God in the middle of the city still. Isn't this what I said, Lord? Isn't this what I said? That's why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish the first time he called. I knew it. I knew. I knew that you're a gracious God, that you're slow to anger, compassionate in love. I knew it. And what's his next thing? I might as well just die now. Just kill me. Just kill me right where I stand. Might as well die. Because life isn't worth living anymore. If you're going to be the type of God who's going to save everybody that repents, then why should I end up living anymore? Because I'm on your team, and these guys are obviously not on your team. 3 times in the text today that Al read, Jonah proclaimed that he wanted to die. 3 times. And I've mentioned here before that if you see this kind of repetition happen, it's meaningful. I'm so angry I could die. That's what Jonah is saying. I'm so angry that I could just die. Jonah leaves the city. He goes up probably on a hill. It's east of the city. Makes himself a little bit of a shelter. Sits in the shelter. Waits to see what's going to happen to the city. Maybe, just maybe God's going to do something with it. Who knows? Maybe God's just sort of holding off a little bit. Up comes this green leafy plant in a day. Okay? Now, I know that, you know, things grow pretty good around here, but I don't think we've ever seen a green leafy plant grow up in a day over top of us. A miracle. Something supernatural happened. And Jonah's very happy about the plant, it says in the text. Well, the original language tells it like this. Jonah rejoiced with great rejoicing. In other words, he was not just very happy about it. He was over the moon about it. Who knows what's going to happen? This is awesome. This plant grew up over me. It's providing shade for my head. And you know what? This happened supernaturally too. It probably means that Jonah figured out that God was with him still. And Jonah was happy about that. Yes, God's still with me. Of course, the next day, the plant becomes worm food. And it withers and dies. And then the hot Mediterranean or Middle Eastern wind, the desert wind blows through, and it's hot. Man, and it is hot. I know from experience. And it blows through, and yeah, Jonah grew faint. And in all these times, Jonah's saying, I want to die. I'm so angry I could die. And God asks him twice. He says, do you have a right to be angry? Do you have a right to be angry? First about the people of Nineveh, which Jonah just sort of ignores God and walks away. And then about the plant. Do you have a right to be angry? And Jonah says, you bet I do. I got a right to, I'm so angry I could die. Maybe you're seeing the comedy in it all, like I'm seeing the comedy in it all. Because Jonah was, the irony at least, you got to see that. Because Jonah was all about doing the Lord's will as long as it worked out his way. Jonah would go to Nineveh, no problem. As long as God was going to give him the words to say and the words he thought were pretty cool. Nineveh's going to be overturned in 40 days. Only it ended up that Nineveh was turned around in 40 days. Jonah, instead of saying sorry to God at any time in this book, he never repented once. Never said, you know what, God, I was wrong about not going to Nineveh the first time you called me. I'm sorry I went, you went the other way instead of obeying you. Jonah didn't do that. Not even once. He thanked God, he praised God for whenever God saved him, like with the plant and with the fish. Praise God all the time. Repented, nothing doing. As soon as the Ninevites, these people, understand that God's talking to them through the prophet of Jonah, the first thing they do is realize their sin and they repent. It's the first thing. Jonah wants Nineveh to burn. Jonah ends up burning in anger. The irony of it all. The unfortunate irony of it all. And so we can easily see the comedy in it too. We can say, come on, Jonah. Like, really, guy? You're sitting there like a kid with a temper tantrum. Come on. Come on. Smarten up. Before we do that, we better look in the mirror a little bit too. Because I suspect that we're not too far different than Jonah. Jonah was a man who thought that God would do amazing things, and God can do amazing things. But Jonah wanted God to do things his way, Jonah's way. Didn't leave room for God to work at all. God, on the other hand, saw through that and made Jonah almost drown, then save him, and then made him go into the city and preach, and then made that plant, and made, God provided the plant, God provided the grace for Jonah so many times. The grace, the free gift of unwarranted merit. That's what Jonah received, this lovely gift of grace so many times from Almighty God. And yet, Jonah wishes that the whole city of Nineveh, 120,000 people, would just be decimated. That God would rain down hail, fire, and brimstone on top of this city. God said, nothing doing. Nothing doing. Why? Because God is a gracious God, slow to anger, compassionate. You know, we sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, often here. And it goes, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like who? Like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Jonah could have sang this song. Jonah would sing this song because it was all about him. I'm on the Lord's team. For those who are against me, there is no grace at all. Those people deserve to die. And I wonder how many times you and I are in that same sort of boat, where we too think that we are doing everything right, that we are on God's plan, which we are, granted, but that there's no room for the others in the plan as well. And so you may have a problem with people from other nations, with other countries, people of other colors or races. You may say, well, you know what, we're pretty good, but those guys, maybe not so much. Or maybe that's not your problem. Maybe you have a problem, say, with the LGBTQ community. And say, you know what, there's no room for grace there, because look at their sinful ways. Maybe you got a problem with other denominations of Christianity, or other religions, for that matter. Maybe you got a problem with the Muslims or the Buddhists, Hindus. Maybe your problem is within Christianity itself. Maybe you got a problem with the way certain other denominations work. Maybe you have a problem with the way certain Christian Reformed churches work. Maybe you got a problem with people that are right here beside you right now. And you're saying, you know what? I'm not really jiving with you, but that's okay, because God's going to shape you up soon. God's going to correct you. I'm okay, but God's going to make you right. Don't you worry about it. I just hope he does it sooner than later. For your sake, of course. You see, this is what happens when we don't take God's plan into effect. When we realize that, this is what happens when we don't realize that God is sovereign, that God is God above all, and that we all are all subject to his will. We are all subject to his will, and our well-being depends on his will. Jonah had this problem too, and it caused him to be very angry when he saw the Lord showing so much grace towards a nation who did horrible, unspeakable things to their enemies, like dissecting them, for instance. I can say that because we have a mostly adult crowd. Dissecting, drawn and quartered, disembowel. And then, not only that, but they have the gall to make pillars, stone pillars, and etch it in stone and start bragging about it. These kings of Assyria, one of them being from Nineveh. And Jonah hated them. But the Lord loved them. You see, we need to look at things through God's lens more. We need to look at life and people and the entire creation, knowing that we are only as good as God's will allows us to be. We shouldn't really worry about anybody else. We should worry about them, don't get me wrong. But not in a judgmental way. And Jesus talks about this. Don't judge one another. He says it in Matthew chapter 7. He says, don't judge anybody because you'll be measured, you'll be judged with the same measuring stick that you're judging others. You know, it's sort of funny and timely. Yesterday, Karen says, hey, you got something in your eye. You got a speck in your eye, she said. That was her words, not mine. And I said, really? Do you got a log in your own eye? I did. Yes, I did. I had a speck of dirt in my eye. But that's, we all know, we laugh because we know what that means. And that comes right after this don't judge thing. Jesus said, he said, don't take the speck, don't look for the speck in your brother's eye. When you got a log or plank or a beam, depending on which translation you're looking at, in your own eye. Now that's hyperbole, that's over-exaggeration to the max, but we see that very easily. You got the log in your own eye and you can't bother taking it out. You're sitting there pointing your finger at other people. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't judge. Rather, just accept what God is doing in your life and worry about yourself in this respect. Let God worry about judging the other person. Judgment is up to God, not up to anyone else. The Apostle Paul says, I don't judge anybody. I don't judge anyone. And he's one to talk because he's the one who used to go out and kill the Jewish people. Don't forget. We learn from his 2 Peter's too. James. Nope, 2 Peter. Sorry. I'll get to that. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. You see, Jesus, the Lord, it says here, the Lord is not slow in keeping promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but everyone to come to him in repentance. Everyone. God doesn't want anybody to die. God doesn't want anybody to go against his will. He wants everyone to come to him and understand who they are in the greatness of Almighty God. And he wants them to all come to understanding that. The problem is that our pride often gets in the way. And so the warning for today, the lessons for your life today, is this: humble yourselves like the Ninevites did. Come to God. Say, I'm sorry. Sorry for the way that I feel about other people. I'm sorry for the way that I've done wrong to you, God. I'm sorry for the way I've treated my neighbor. I'm sorry for the way that I don't like that group of people. And help me to love them as people, as your created beings. And it could be even just a simple thing like this. I don't know if you do this or not. I'm just going to share this with you. It just came to my mind right now. I'll be going up the road. Say, Lucknow Line. I'll be driving towards Goderich. I'll be going down the road. And I don't know how fast you go down that road, but my median speed is about 105. Okay? It's 90 kilometers an hour, right? That's the posted limit, except through Dungannon. 90 kilometers an hour, 15 over is just under the threshold where the cops are going to leave you alone, right? And you're still going fast enough, right? Or maybe, you know, a little bit over that even if you want to get tense. Then somebody passes you doing what, 130, 140 maybe? Maybe just on that threshold of losing their car. And what's the first thing that comes to my mind? Where's a cop when you want to see one? Listen, I am in the same boat as that guy, or gal, for that matter. I want to be equal opportunity here. I'm in the same boat, okay? I'm speeding too. I'm doing wrong as well. This person that's past me is doing more, like a lot worse in the cop's eyes. But really, one sin to another. One problem to another. In the eyes of the law, the local law, there's a big difference, but not in the eyes of God when it comes to sin. And that's where James 2 comes in. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point, says James in 2 verse 10, will become guilty of all of it. You see, we all fail. We all have nothing to be proud about when it comes to failing before God. And we all are worthy of nothing, but we all receive grace. So give grace to others. Amen. Lord, help us to understand our role as Christians. Help us to understand that our role is to love one another as you have loved us, as we've talked about in our confession and assurance. Help us to understand, Lord, that love means that we shouldn't be judgmental of others. Rather, we should be forgiving and gracious towards others, as you are forgiving and gracious towards us. Help us to understand your love for us and your love for all people, because you don't want anybody to die. And help us to understand, most of all, Lord, that our pride often gets in the way of being gracious towards others. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. Let's sing a song of response.